Let's all say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our afternoon Sabbath service. Let's all sing hymn 198. Sing hymn 198. Savior, lead me as I stray. Gently lead me all the way. I am safe when by thy side. I will in thy love abide. Sweet me, lead me. Savior, lead me lest I stray. Gently down the stream of time, lead me, Savior, on the way. Thou the refuge of my soul, when life's stormy billows roll. I am safe and thou art nigh. On thy mercy I rely. Lead me, lead me. Savior, lead me lest I stray. Gently down the stream of time. Lead me, Savior, all the Savior, lead me till at last, when the storm of life is past, I shall reach the land of day, where all tears are wiped away. Lead me, Savior, lead me as I pray. Gently down the stream of time, lead me, Savior, on the way. We give thanks to our Lord Jesus, and now we shall say our prayer. So in our prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to guide and lead us in our afternoon Sabbath service. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Or
Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. First and foremost, greetings. We give all glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven. We also send greetings of peace to all our ministers, brothers and sisters, friends and relatives. May the peace of the Lord Jesus on this Sabbath day be given to all those who observe this commandment of our Lord Jesus. So for this evening, we shall share, for this afternoon, we shall share on this topic, discerning the times, knowing the mission. Previously, last week, we have already seen to discern the times, and at the same time, we are to examine ourselves. Where we have seen from the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, that he mentioned how was he to receive or to enjoy an abundant life even though he was in prison. So this evening we shall continue to discuss discerning the times and knowing the mission. So first and foremost, let's turn to Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16. From verses 1 to 3. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1. In the name of Jesus I read. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red." Verse 3, "And in the morning it will be stormy day, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." So here Jesus says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew how to distinguish the weather or the face of the weather. Where in the evening it will be a fair weather when the sky is red, and in the morning it will be stormy for the sky is red and threatening. So at that time they were very wise to use their knowledge or their brains to discern the weather. But in verse 3, they could not interpret the sign or the signs of the times. So what are the times referring to at the time? Let's see Matthew 16 verse 4. Matthew chapter 16 verse 4. "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed." So Jesus reckoned that it was an evil and adulterous generation. We all have our own times. From the time we were born, then we age, then we also suffer sickness, and finally death. So in the entire human history also has his time as well. So the growth of knowledge today leads to more sorrow. When we know more, we know that the world is ending soon. So our Lord Jesus has mentioned in Matthew chapter 24 that there are signs before his second coming. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. We see verse 5. Matthew 24 verse 5. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." Then verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." So there are rumors of war, famines, and earthquakes. And in verse 8, Jesus says, "All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." It is only the beginning of sorrows. Then in verse 14, let's see Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then the end will come. And all nations here refers to all men in this world. When the end will come, that is referring to the coming of Jesus. And this gospel of the kingdom is referring to the gospel that was preached by the apostles. And as mentioned by Paul to Titus in Titus 1 verse 4, this is the common faith which was revealed to the apostolic church. It is also the truth that was once for all delivered to the saints as recorded in Jude verse 3. And at that time, in the book of Galatians chapter 1 verses 8 to 9, let's turn to Galatians chapter 1 verses 8 to 9. Galatians chapter 1 verses 8 to 9. So here Apostle Paul tells us of a very strict warning. Let's see verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. So if anyone should preach a gospel that was contrary that to what was being preached by the apostles, let him be accursed. This was indeed a very severe warning. For Paul was very sure of the gospel that he was preaching because he was revealed of this gospel by our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, this gospel has also been entrusted to the true church through the Holy Spirit. As a result, every believer of the true Jesus Church, regardless of how we came to church, either by hearing, seeing, or touching, we must be able to live the elementary principles of the truth, just as mentioned by the author of Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So that when we leave the elementary principles of the truth, that is to say, we only merely seek the grace of God and we are able to enter the ark of the last days. But we need to grow up and to bear the burden that the Lord gives to us. So what must we do now is to testify the gospel to all nations. Therefore, we must discern the times and to know our mission. When one comes into Christ, he has abundant grace. Hence, our life becomes more blessed. And we often forget in what times we are living in. We forget our missions as well. History will also repeat itself. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 verses 36 to 39. Matthew chapter 24 verses 36 to 39. Matthew 24 verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. 38. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. 39. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So no one knows when Jesus will come again. As the days of Noah will be, so will be the days of the Son of Man shall be as well. So the days of Noah will reflect upon how the days before Jesus comes again. How did the people live during the days of Noah will also reflect upon how the people of the world live today, especially in verse 38. Where before the flood, the people were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Was there anything wrong with all this? Of course, the Bible tells us, eating and drinking, this is the grace of God, that we are able to enjoy this blessing of God, that we are able, our hearts are being satisfied with food and gladness. This is the grace of God. Marrying and giving in marriage, even the Bible tells us that this is the truth of marriage from the very beginning when God created the marriage institution for both Adam and Eve. That the Lord knew it was not good for a man to be alone. So God made a helper for him. So this is also the grace of God. However, here it mentions specifically that it was before the flood. And the people at that time forgot that Noah was preaching the warning. So the focus of their daily lives was only merely eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, how their family lives were improved, were made better. However, when all these things becomes the focus and attention of their lives, they would ignore the spiritual. Just like today, when we focus our camera upon a certain thing, all the surrounding images would become blurry. When we focus too much on the grace of God, we have forgotten about the mission that the Lord has entrusted to us. So in verse 38, let's turn back to Matthew 24, verse 38. Matthew 24, verse 38. So here it tells us at the last portion, until the day when Noah entered the ark. So they were not aware until the flood came and swept them all away. In verse 39, the upper portion. So for the people at that time, they were not aware, or they did not realize that the flood had come. So they were not prepared. And they really forgotten that the flood was coming. So in verse 38, so Jesus further explained. Verse 38, we can also see verse 38. So here it says, verse 39, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. In verse 39, the last portion, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So when people are enjoying their lives, suddenly Jesus comes again. So therefore today, it is important for us to discern the times, where we know the establishment of the true church is the ark of the last days. And this is the beginning of the end times. When the gospel has been proclaimed throughout the whole world, then the Lord will come again. We are actually now already in the final or last stage of human history. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet by the name of Daniel. And at that time, Daniel, a man whom God loved, was able to interpret a dream that was made by King Nebuchadnezzar. This is recorded in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. So in Daniel chapter 2, here tells us that at that time, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. So finally, Daniel, a man, a prophet of God, who was faithful, who was favorable in the eyes of God, so he was able to interpret this dream. And in this dream, he saw, the king actually saw or seen that there was a great image, where the head of this gold image was a fine gold, the chest and arms were made of silver, its middle and thighs were of bronze, its legs of iron, his feet partly of iron and of clay. And finally, he also saw a stone that was cut out by no human hand. And the stone was able to strike the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. So what is the interpretation of this dream? So it's telling us about the kingdoms of the world that will come. The kingdom after kingdom. From the time of the Babylonians, to Medes and Persia, to the Roman Empire, until today. Where now we have already come to the last stage, or rather the last part of this dream. In which we can also see finally that the coming of Jesus is at hand. So this vision actually tells us concerning the end times of human history. So at this time, what should we do then? Now we have already known the times that we are in. We have mentioned about the days of Noah. We have also mentioned about the dream that was seen by or dreamt by King Nebuchadnezzar. So what should we do now? Let's turn back to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, let's see verses 45 to 46. Matthew 24 verses 45 to 46. 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? 46. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so when he comes. In so doing, when he comes. So here it tells us, who is the most blessed when Jesus comes again? Is it the one physically blessed and being blessed by the Lord? So in verse 46, this servant, so in verse 46 says, blessed is that servant. What is his blessing? Because he was a faithful and wise servant in verse 45. That is before God. He was able to serve God. So his service was both wise and faithful. What do we mean by faithful? Meaning he has tried his best. Wise. What does it mean? He has the wisdom to do it and he was able to fulfill it according to the will of God. So today when we serve God, on one hand, yes, we know it is hard, it's difficult. But on the other hand, it is also a blessing. In the end times, if we are able to serve God, this is a blessing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Apostle Paul talks about resurrection. And we know that the resurrection of Jesus has brought about hope for us. That when he comes again, those who die will live again, and those who are alive will be transformed and to be with Jesus forever. So what is the conclusion of this resurrection? Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So the conclusion of resurrection is to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for this labor is not in vain. Meaning to say, our service in the Lord will be remembered by God. So earlier Jesus spoke on the days of Noah, and later he continued with the faithful and wise servant. So what did this servant do? Let's turn back to Gospel according to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we see verse 45, the lower portion. So what did this servant do that he was called a faithful and wise servant? So here it says, to give them food, their food at the proper time. So he was able to provide the proper food at the proper time. So today, dear brothers and sisters, we are already at the end time or the end stage of the world. So if we are the wise and faithful servant of God, we need to give food at the proper time. So what food must we give? Let's see Matthew 24 verse 14. Matthew 24 verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So the most valuable work in the last day that the faithful and wise servant will do is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom throughout the whole world as a testimony. If this gospel which is preached refers to the general Christian teachings preached by the general or other Christians, then the gospel would have been proclaimed to the entire world early on. But just now we have already mentioned, but this gospel is the gospel that has been entrusted to us, is our common faith, and it has already been once and for all entrusted, delivered to the saints. So in the end times, we must know our mission very well, that is to preach the gospel of the kingdom faithfully. It must be proclaimed throughout the whole world, to the area entrusted to us, not just far off places. So our Lord Jesus has already given us this commission. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Gospel according to Mark chapter 16, from verses 15 to 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Verse 16. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So here, before our Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, he entrusted to his disciples two important commission, two important responsibilities. That is, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all the creation. So why is it so important? We see verse 16. "For whoever believes is baptized, and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Furthermore, verse 17, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues." So there will be signs that will follow those who believe, that they will be able to experience God. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, at the end, we know that the gospel has been preached to Rome, which is regarded at that time as the end of the world, the last part, that last place of the world. But through the Holy Spirit, the gospel has been revealed and entrusted to the true church. Therefore then, today we need to preach this gospel, that is, believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. So our church indeed is blessed, for God has established our church to be the ark of the end times. So what is this gospel? What is this gospel? Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1 verse 16, here Apostle Paul told the Romans in this manner. 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Why is one ashamed of the gospel? Because the gospel, the places in which the gospel has been preached, there will be a change in the place. And as we know, the gospel is the power of God. Only with the power of God, only there will be a change. Without this power of God, there will be no change. And gospel, or the word, just as was mentioned in the book of Acts of the Apostles, it was likened to a plague. We will be able to stir up riots among the people, turning the heavens upside down. So this changes because it brings us to separate us from the cultures of the world. So the words of the Bible will bring unto us new life and thoughts, where we have our own experience before we believe and after we believe in Christ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, we are not to be ashamed of this gospel, because it saves us, save others as we ourselves as well. So this is a good thing, and this is important. Secondly, because this gospel is centered upon Jesus. And we know in the book of Isaiah tells us, in Isaiah 53 verse 2, that Jesus had no beauty in which we should desire him. He had no background, no proper education and wealth. He practically had nothing. So today, if a religion is only centered upon someone who has nothing, will we still want to believe in such a religion? It will be very shameful to preach about someone who is crucified on the cross. Although Jesus died on the cross, yet after 3 days, he resurrected. The gospel is the power of God, the glory of God. So when we talk about this glory of God, it can be explained in two major aspects. Firstly, in the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, so in Psalms, we have also seen in Psalms 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God. And secondly, Paul in the book of Romans chapter 11 also tells us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. So he says, this wisdom, power, and glory of God. So through the gospel, God can cause our sins to be forgiven, to be able to be freed from the bondage of the evil one, free from the control of sin, and cause one to be resurrected. This is the ultimate hope of our belief in Jesus. So such great power has created the heavens and the earth. That's why Paul tells us that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel. This is also the beginning of the gospel. So when Paul preached the gospel, what changes did it bring about? Why do we need to preach in the end times? Because the gospel itself can bring about a great change to the people. For the gospel, as we have read, let's come back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. So once again, Paul here tells us very clearly, the gospel is the power of God, and is able to bring salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the gospel indeed is the word of God. That's why in Acts chapter 13 and 14, we shall see very quickly and briefly concerning that the gospel indeed is the power of God. First of all, let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts of the Apostles of chapter 13, we see verse 5. Acts chapter 13, verse 5. So when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. So this tells us, at that time, what were they proclaiming? They were proclaiming the word of God compared to the word of men, where man is only but dust. That we are created out of the dust of the ground. And when we leave this world, the dust shall return to dust. But the word of God is different. The word of God can change us. Then in chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, verse 3, so they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So there will be grace that will follow this word, this truth, where God will abide with us when we preach. When the people hear the word of God, when they receive this word of God, they will be able to believe. And to the helpless, we preach to them. And by the grace of God, by the truth of God, they will change, for they have received the grace of God. So similarly today, when Jesus came into this world, he brought grace and truth to this world. He brought the word of God. At the same time, he also brought the grace of their present life, after life, of their present life, and also the life after. As they receive the grace of God, their lives have changed. They have experienced the Lord God, and they found that this grace of God indeed is so wonderful, able to change their lives altogether. So this grace of God will follow, and especially to those who are in need, who are helpless, this grace of God will be able to strengthen them. Today in the true church, we have seen, we have heard, we have even experienced that the grace of the Lord is so wonderful. And this grace of God has worked wonderfully, even among those, even for those who have yet to receive water baptism. What more about those who already believe? And it was this grace of God that convicted them that the Lord God that they worship is the one, the true and living God. And they also convicted that it is the only true church, the true Jesus church, that will save, for it is the ark of the end times. Then we see chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through this man. So who is this man? If we were to look into the verses before verse 38, it actually talks about Jesus. That through Jesus, this truth of the forgiveness of sin have been made known. Today, the crisis of the world is not this pandemic, COVID-19. But the greatest crisis is sin. Where sin, from the time of Adam, it came to this earth, we men have continually suffered. But there's only, there's a way to resolve this sin. And as what the apostles have said, as what they were preaching at that time, it was the only way to resolve this sin. It is only by our Lord Jesus. And it is only by this name alone that salvation can be found. For there is no salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. So today, how are we to resolve this issue of sin? It is only through our Lord Jesus. And next one, chapter 13. Come back to Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Acts chapter 13, verses 48. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. So here it says, the word of God is connected to our eternal life. So dear brothers and sisters, why do we believe in Jesus? Is it for the blessings of this life? Is it for this present life benefits that we believe in the Lord? No. We believe in the Lord ultimately is for eternal life. Therefore today, all the more, since we know that this gospel is the work of God, is the power of God. So as Paul has mentioned, now we come back to Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1 verse 14. Romans 1 verse 14. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So as a result, we are now under obligation. We are indebted. So what debt is that? So that is why we see verse 15. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So this was the determination of Paul. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, now we have already discerned the times. We have already known the times that we are in. So let us now, in this period of this CMCO or MCO we are in, let us consider our resolution for the Lord. So what is our resolution for the Lord? Let us ask ourselves. The mission has been entrusted to us, but are we able to fulfill the resolution, the responsibility that the Lord God, our Lord Jesus, has entrusted to us? If we are able to do so, dear brothers and sisters, then at the end, we'll be able to sing the song of victory of Paul. Finally, let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's see verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and on, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So dear brothers and sisters, this is the grace that our Lord Jesus has given to us. So we pray that our Lord will continue to shower his blessings upon us, so that we will be able to fulfill the grace of God and His responsibility that He has given to us, so that at the end, we have known the times, we have also discerned, we have also known the mission that our Lord Jesus has entrusted to us, that is to preach the gospel to all mankind. So finally, may all glory be given to our Lord Jesus. Let's now sing our concluding hymn. Sing hymn 281. Sing hymn 281.
Must I go and empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer me? Not one day of service giving, lay no trophy at His feet. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him, must I empty-handed go? Not at death I shrink nor falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet Him empty-handed, door of blood that clouds my brow. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with wish to greet Him, must I empty-handed go. All the years in sinning wasted, could I God recall them now? I would give them to my Savior, to His will I'd gladly bow. As I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior soon? Not one soul with wish to greet Him, must I empty-handed go? All ye saints, arouse me earnest, up and work while yet is day. Hear the night of death o'ertake, strive for souls while yet you may. As I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with wish to greet Him, must I empty-handed go?
We thank our Lord Jesus that we are able to have this sharing or this service online, to be able to listen to the Word of God. So after we have heard, we know the times we are in. We have really discerned the times we are in. We have already examined ourselves. And now the next step is to know the mission that our Lord Jesus has entrusted to us. And now we shall say our second prayer. So in our prayer, we pray that our Lord Jesus Christ will continue to preserve us and protect us during this time of the pandemic. At the same time, we also pray for one another. We pray for our families, for brothers and sisters, those who are weak physically and spiritually. At the same time, we also pray for the church and the nation. I shall be now in one accord, in the name of Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah.
We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Sabbath service shall end here. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, and may God bless all of you. Amen.